Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bid that you would remember to have a time of scripture memorization, hiding the Word of God in your heart, that you might call it back to mind during those waiting times so that you can be strengthened in the Lord. We often read the scriptures, and the Word of God goes through us. It courses through us like our blood courses through our veins. The air we breathe, we take in the air, and our bodies make use of the fresh oxygen that is breathed in, and the exhaling takes away that which we do not need. But the scriptures is like the blood that courses through the vein, taking life to every part of our being. The Holy Spirit of God is in us, and He is removing from us those things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God is like the wind, the breath, that takes away from us those things that we cannot use, that are not needful in our service for the Lord. So the Word is like the blood, and the air that we breathe works like the Spirit of God works. You'll not have victory in your life if you're not going to the Word and if you're not trusting in what the Lord has said. But do memorize the Scripture. That's when your greatest spiritual growth will take place. If you're hiding God's Word in your heart and meditating on it, and the Holy Spirit of God will take that word which you and I do memorize, and when we're thinking, we bring it back to mind, driving or walking or in some task that does not demand our undivided attention. Sometimes you wake in the night and you cannot sleep, and it's a good thing to have Scripture there. One of the things that I like to do when I cannot sleep in the night, I wake up and I start thinking about the book of Genesis. And I try to remember a verse from the book of Genesis, and then going on through until I have 66 verses quoted. And I have yet to make it through that quoting a verse from every book. If I can't quote a verse, I try to think of some event in a particular chapter. And sometimes I will just focus on a book and see what is in every chapter of that book. Hopefully talking about in my mind, talking to myself about the things of the Lord. You know, it's not beyond us to give our minds over to the Lord all the time because, you know, whenever if a person is given to making money, they're always looking for that. If they're giving to playing a sport, they're always giving themselves over to that. Whatever it is that consumes them and how they're to live, then that's the thing that's on their minds and hearts all the time. And I pray that we will have the promises of God on our hearts all the time. The Lord does not tell us how often we can pray. He does not put a limit on the amount of prayers that we can make unto Him or the number of requests we can make known unto God. We ought always to pray, and He would have us to pray always. And so it's very important for us to pray. And so in order to pray right, be thinking right. Be thinking right. And right thinking comes from a knowledge of God and what His Word has said and is saying to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this time to be with Thee in the Word. We ask for Thy blessings upon us. Help us, I ask. We pray Thee to bless the time of preaching. It is in Jesus' name and for His sake we ask these things. Amen. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 28, after Jacob has been sent away from his home. He was on the run. Apparently, he did move away from his brother's presence, and the brother did have some time to not be angry or to cool down, and now the mother doesn't think that this is going to last. So she goes into her husband and asks her husband, Isaac, to send the son away, to go to their own relatives to find a wife. And she is saying, now, it sounds good, as we mentioned before, all of these things that she had said, they were right, and she wanted her son to go away to be delivered. She was concerned about Esau's vengeance. Esau was very angry, but again, as I said, she knew this son, knew how long his anger would probably last, and just hide for a while and he'll get over it, just like he did with the selling of the birthright. He got over it. When his stomach was filled, he'll be all right. She knew him. And she now tells her husband to send their son, Jacob, to her brother, Laban. And now she does not let him know the reason why she is sending him there. She does not let him know that she was behind this plot. And we don't have any indication that Isaac said to his son, Jacob, Jacob, why did you deceive me? The fact is immaterial. The blessing has been bestowed. He cannot call it back. And she says, I am weary of life because of the daughters of Heth. She was using a situation, again, very manipulative, to get things her way. And there are people that are like this. When they say hi, they're not saying hi just to know how you are. They're saying hi for some other reason. When they say, I'll see you later, they're not saying I'll see you later for the right reason. Nothing means anything to them. If it doesn't work in their behalf, they have no interest in it. And they're using every situation to them. People are just tools and instruments to help them accomplish their purpose. And so here is a woman who is doing this. Everything seems really good. It seems a very noble thing that she is concerned that her sons not marry the wrong kind of woman. But there is a hidden agenda. In Genesis 28 now, Isaac calls Jacob and blesses him and charges him and says to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. He did not want him to take a daughter from these here in this land. He was going to send him away. And he says to him, arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So he is commanding him to go. He's not giving to him a suggestion. He charges him to go. This is what you will do. You will go and get a wife from this place. The blessing has been bestowed upon you, but you still are obligated to listen to me. You still are obligated to recognize that I'm the head of this family, and you will go to the place that I am telling you to go. And so Jacob is ready to go where his father sends him to. And in verse 3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. So here he recognizes that the El Shaddai, which is mentioned back in Genesis 17:1, Jacob was ready to go as his father had said him to go, and going in his name, in the name of God Almighty, to bless. Now, we talk about the Lord God Almighty. He is God, and he is the Almighty God. To be God means that he is all-powerful and he needs no one. But his name says that he is the Almighty God. Now, Satan is a mighty creature, but he is not an almighty creature. He does not have all power. He does not have all might. Satan is a creature. The Lord God is God. No one made God. God is. There never was a time when he was not. He always will be. And Isaac says to Jacob, "This God, let him bless you. He will make you fruitful and multiply you, and that you may be a multitude of people." A multitude, a great number of people, as has been promised to Abraham, that there were going to be kings issuing forth from his seed, going to be a father of many nations. Abram, meaning a father of many. Abraham, a father of many nations. And now Isaac is bestowing this blessing upon his son. And verse 4, "And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Notice, Abraham was given this promise. Abraham lived and died a stranger. He lived and died without seeing the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to him. Isaac has lived his life. And remember, Isaac lives to be 180. Abraham lived to be 175. That's a long time. And neither saw the fulfillment of this promise. Jacob also is receiving the promise, and he will not see the fulfillment of the promise, but they still believe it because God has spoken it. Now, have you learned from God's word the promises of eternal life? And are you trusting in that? I pray that you are, though you do not see heaven with your natural eye, but because God has said it, because God's word has promised it, because the Holy Spirit of God has confirmed it, because the changed lives of people have attested to it, we know that there is salvation in Christ Jesus the Lord. I know the peace that I now have. I have seen the peace that has been worked in the hearts and lives of many saints. I have seen how the Lord has quieted the troubled heart, how he has delivered those from the bondage of sin. I know there is salvation. I know how he has brought peace to many a troubled homes, how that he has given sight to many a blinded eyes and strength to many a crippled hands and ankles and legs. I know how Jesus works because people have taken him at his word. We have God's word. There are many things that we cannot see, but God has spoken and God has promised, and they are ours, though we have them not. Though heaven is ours, we see it not. It's ours because God has promised. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord God upon us. Hear, O Lord, from heaven and help us and meet each of these needs, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Join us again. I'm Willie Thompson.